worship at Hollywood United Methodist Church. We are glad that you have joined us on this second Sunday of August for worship, both in person and online. As you are able, please stand for our opening hymns.
Welcome all the little ones up to the steps of the altar. My name is Mr. Kevin. I'm Director of Children and Youth Ministries.
I am Miss April, Coordinator of Children's Ministries. We are happy to have everyone here today.
And clearly we all got the memo. This was Swimwear Sunday. Why are not all of you in your swim clothes?
In the church.
Wow, okay. I guess we have to work on our communication. Yeah. But the kids found out it is Swimwear Sunday. We got it. And actually, we are going to go out today for a fun time out in our backyard where we have water day with all the children and youth. So if there are still a couple out there that are not up here, come join us. We'll be out on the back, we call it our backyard, and we parents, you can come out there and pick us up as soon as services are over.
And if it's something you're not comfortable with, you don't want to engage in the water play, we do have Miss Zuki and Miss Oshadi who are in the nursery with coloring activities and things like that. So if that is not something you're comfortable with, you can also go in there. We'll be out getting a little bit wet in the bounce house.
So who is back to school already? Anybody? Oh, yeah, I'm so sorry.
Getting
Who's
ready.
Going back this week? Yeah. I mean, yay! It's so great. So excited. So every year we do this, and today we are kicking off our drive for school supplies and backpacks. Anybody want to tell the congregation what that is? We do it every year. Miss Maddie, what do you want to?
I got it. Sometimes we donate. Everyone brings in backpacks and school supplies for people who need them and can't afford them. And we donate them to charities.
That's exactly right, 100%. We partner with LAUSD, their Department of Homeless Services, and we make sure the backpacks and school supplies get into the hands of the young people who need them. So for the next several weeks, just bring those on out here. If there is going to be a list that will be in the Children's Ministry newsletter, but also it'll be in our e-news, and if you have any questions, just call or email me or the church, and you can find out what supplies they're specifically asking for, and we will do that until the beginning of September.
And after September, after Labor Day weekend, we're going to kick off an exciting new curriculum that we can't wait to introduce to everyone. And it's something that parents can do alongside and has a lot of activities that you can do throughout the week. It's something maybe congregation you might want to get excited about as well. We're going to keep it a little secret. We're ready to launch it all together. And as we think about that, we're also going to do a training for volunteers. So if this is something that you're called for, even if it's a one-off to serve in any way, shape, or form. We have a lot of opportunities, whether it's one Sunday a month or we're going to have the Christmas pageant this year, so wanting to help out with that. Lots of opportunities, and you'll hear more about that from us as well.
All right. Are you all ready to get wet? Who's ready? I'm ready. I'm like really
I'm
hot,
ready.
So
it's kind of toasty.
All right, let's do it. Let's pray, and then we'll go have fun. Father God, thank you so much for your love for us. Thank you for your care. Thank you for creation. Thank you for water and for outdoor fun. So thank you for the health of each of these young people that they could be here today. Thank you for all the children and youth and parents and families watching at home. As we move back into a routine of fall and school and all of that, may we still enjoy your creation. We know that it will be hot through October, so help us to be outside, enjoy creation, enjoy being together. Thank you for our church family here and the joy that we have with one another. In your name, Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Amen.
All right, as we head off to our backyard, we invite you all to stand and pass the peace of Christ to one another.
The peace of the Lord be with you. Take a second and look back at that camera and let's greet all of our friends who worship with us online and other places. We're so glad that you're with us. What a beautiful morning. I am excited now that we're going to take a moment in the heat of this day and the busyness of our life and welcome the presence of the Holy Spirit as we enter into a time of prayer and reflection. So I invite you now to close your eyes, settle yourself, and take a deep breath. Let it out. Still the thoughts and the stress and the things that brought you here today, and open your heart to the presence of the God who is always speaking. Let us pray. Holy One, perfecter of our faith, we are grateful for the way you shape and mold us with the power of your love and your Holy Spirit. We are confident in you, knowing that we are made in your image. But dear Lord, sometimes we confess, we forget that you have ordained each of us for a kind of greatness. That greatness may be different than the kind that the world recognizes, but we are thankful, God, that on each of us you have placed a call. Help us to find out what that means in our lives so that we might serve you to the best of our abilities. Help us, God, in the community of our friends and our faith family, to learn to recognize our gifts to serve, so that together we may be able to contribute to the beloved community. Dear God, when the road is difficult, help us to help each other so that we might persevere on the winding path. God, we offer gratitude to you this morning for the teachers in our lives, the mentors, the leaders, the pastors, and the people who have seen the possibilities within us when we could not recognize it, loved us, and encouraged us to pursue our dreams. We know that you have moved through them so that we can respond to your call. And for those of us who did not have those kinds of teachers or encouraging words, we know that you are waiting for us to respond, and we are grateful that you have never left us. We pray that you will continue to agitate, invite, and affirm the call that you have placed in our lives, so that in all that we do, in small and big ways, it will be of service to you. God, be with all those who struggle today, who know illness and uncertainty, who are facing the extremes of this heat, especially our older friends, our very young friends, and the unsheltered, our houseless neighbors. Protect them and keep them safe, and make us aware of the ways that we can be helpful in those moments. Be with those who know loneliness and who are thirsting for direction and for your life-giving water. We pray for those in our community who are in need of healing. Please continue to surround Richard Settle with your presence. Heal his spirit and his body as he is on his journey. Be with all those afflicted by COVID and other illnesses. Pour your spirit over them so that they could be healed in full. We have so many thoughts, joys, and concerns we would like to share with you, but we don't always have the words. So please take those that now linger on our hearts and minds as we offer you silent prayer. Gracious and loving God, for all that you are and all that you have made us to be and all that we have yet to become, we offer our deepest gratitude. And as a sign of our enduring faith, we offer you the words that your Son taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory. Amen.
We are so glad that you have joined us for worship this morning, both in person and online. And there are just a few announcements. Today, after worship, there are two exciting things going on in addition to the water park. We have our usher training, which will be held here in the sanctuary. It will be brief. No matter what Rance said last week, there will not be a test. I'm just saying. okay, if you want to, that's fine. But please come and help us get our usher team the depth that it needs to begin with this fall. And then also, our worship and arts team is meeting in the air-conditioned chapel, which is across the breezeway and in the north southwest corner of the building, so of the campus. So please join them. They'd love to have you as part of that group. Next week, just Dr. Larry High will be preaching on High on the Hog, which is a Netflix series. And it will also be Ciclovia in Hollywood, which is a yay and a oh, because Sunday mornings can be challenging for us sometimes. So just leave a little early. There will be ways to get through. There will be north-south bypasses. So just if you come from the north, you won't have any issues at all. So please just leave a little early to be here next Sunday. And then we've got the next announcement is about backpacks, I do believe. That's right. As Kevin was mentioning, we have our LAUSD Homeless Outreach Service. We are collecting backpacks and school supplies between now and homecoming on September 18th. Kids need these backpacks all year long, so we don't have to have them for the first day of school this Tuesday. So please, if you're at Target or wherever you shop or on Amazon, please go and get a backpack and bring to church sometime in the coming weeks. I will be gone the next 3 weeks, so I'm going to ask you to please be kind to Pastor Bridie. She has another full-time job, so please be kind. I still want her to be here when I come back in September. I'm just saying. We are so honored today to have with us the Reverend Dr. Cedric Bridgeforth as our guest preacher for King Richard. Dr. Bridgeforth is known to us here at Hollywood United Methodist Church as he was our superintendent for many years. He's also currently the California Pacific Conference of the United Methodist Church's Director of Innovation and Communication. Perhaps most importantly, he's the author of Alabama Grandson, an award-winning book that if you haven't gotten it and if you haven't read it, go on Amazon this afternoon and do yourself a favor, buy it and read it and then give it to a friend to read. But we are so honored to have Reverend Dr. Cedric Bridgeforth with us today. Would you welcome him? All that we do here is made possible by you, by your prayers and your presence, your service, your witness, and your financial gifts. So as the ushers come forward, I encourage you to be as generous as you can so that we might continue to grow our ministries here in the heart of Hollywood, in Toluca Lake, and online.
I believe the children are future. Teach them well and let them lead the way. Show them all the beauty they possess inside. Give them a sense of pride to make it easier. Let the children laughter remind us how we used to be. Everybody searching for a hero. People need someone to look up to. Never found anyone to fulfill my needs. A lonely place to be. And so I learned to depend on me. I decided long ago never to walk in anyone's shadow. If I fail, if I succeed, at least I live as I believe. No matter what they take from me, they can't take away my dignity. Because the greatest love of all is happening to me. learning to love yourself is the greatest love of all. I believe the children are future. Teach them well and let them lead the way. Show them all the beauty they possess inside. Give them a sense of pride to make it easier. Let the children laughter remind us how we used to be. I decided long ago never to walk in anyone's shadow. If I fail, if I succeed, at least I'll live as I believe. No matter what they take from me, they can't take away my dignity. Special place that you've been dreaming of, it leads you to a lonely place. Find your strength in
love. A reading from Hebrews 12, 1 to 2. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and the sin that clings so closely, and let us run with perseverance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith, who for the sake of the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, disregarding its shame, and has taken his seat at the right hand of the throne of God. Word of God, words of life. Thanks be to God.
Amen. Well, it's great to be with you, Hollywood, once again participating in CrossFlix, one of the highlights of my year every single year. And every year I say, you know, I chose a film that I wish I had not chosen. I think, Pastor Kathy, we're going to go back to just letting you tell me which film to do, because when I choose, I don't know. I go way out there. And so this round we have King Richard. How many of you actually saw King Richard? Even if you're online, you can put in the chat that you saw it. I've watched this film several times, and it just raises several thoughts for me. And then pairing it with this reading from Hebrews 12 was quite the challenge, but I believe there's a message in it for us. Because as I consider this movie, this film, King Richard, and think about the elements of that film and our lives and where we are, I realize that when a parent believes in their child, that's normal. When a parent teaches a child, that's normal. When a parent encourages and supports a child, We believe that's normal. But when a parent invests in a child or sacrifices for a child or defends a child, that's also considered normal. But when a parent becomes a friend to a child, that's commendable. But in this movie, I have to say that when a parent becomes the best friend of a child, that's transformational. And I really hope my mom sees this movie, and I wish my grandmother had lived long enough to see it, because both of them were very clear with me and with my siblings that, boy, I am not your friend. Very clear. But that was an element of this film that really stood out to me. And there were more than a few questions raised in this film. The coaches asked questions. Orserine Williams asked questions. The gang members in the park asked questions. The nosy neighbor across the street asked questions. We all have nosy neighbors, right? We know how that works. Richard Williams asked several questions himself. He asked the coaches if they would train the girls. He asked the gang members to leave his girls alone. He asked his girls what they wanted. He asked the girls to show him their dangerous face and to make some dangerous noises. Though this film could be, we could say it's about family, perseverance, having a plan, working a plan. We could say it's about commitment and what it means to invest and to believe in a dream. But what I find that can speak more deeply to our needs in this current season is the reality that friendship matters, that element of friendliness matters in every relationship. Whether we're talking about a clerk-customer relationship, a student-teacher, a mentor-mentee, a pastor-parishioner, even parent-to-parent or parent-to-child, friendship and elements of friendliness matter in relationship because they can make the interaction or break the relationship. So the one question Richard Williams asked that captured my imagination more than any other was, Venus Williams, who is your best friend? And she responded, you, Daddy. And he turns to Serena and asks, Serena Williams, who is your best friend? And she says, Venus. Then you, Daddy. See, the movie industry titled this film King Richard. I would change the title to Friend Richard. Because of the way he believed and the way he acted like a friend, not like a king. Now, I have to make note that the actor who portrayed Richard Williams fell far short of friendly behavior the night he received the Best Actor Award for his masterful portrayal. But that's an angle on the story that we can deal with next time, and we compare that with the text on Cain and Abel. But today, as we consider this film, King Richard, consider the breadth and depth of this film and the totality of your relationships. I want you to ponder the question, what makes a friend? What is a best friend? Let's watch the trailer.
I got these two great tennis players. All we need is a club. Everything to go from prodigy to pro.
Raise your hand, Serena. Venus Williams.
What you think?
Nobody's taking that bet. Tennis takes expert instruction. It takes families with unlimited financial resources. It's like asking somebody to believe that you got the next two Mozarts in your house.
Venus and Serena gonna shake up this world. I got a million
miles on me. Throw it to the sky. Yeah, that's it. There you go.
They're not going to Wimbledon like this. Not with you and me on those raggedy courts.
We just got to stick to the plan. We got champions in the other room.
You taught them all this?
Richard, I'm impressed. I think you might just have the next Michael Jordan.
Oh, no, brother man. I got me the next two. And can't nobody knock it if
they try. Let me ask you about something. What do you want out of this? I know what your dad wants, but what about you?
Well, I want to win Wimbledon as many times as anyone's ever won it.
You think you can do that? Every American player got good following this path. We're going to do this a different way.
You pulled him out of juniors. Now you pull him out of practice. You do it constantly.
I'm trying to look out for my kids.
You're looking out for yourself.
This is their life. You've got to let them decide.
Venus Williams,
what you want?
Let's show all of those people that I can handle what's coming.
It feels so good to be alive.
It feels so, so, so good.
You are a champion, and the whole world knows it.
She's playing the best player on the planet. She can't beat her.
But what if she do?
Remember who you are, remember where you came from.
I have never been more proud in my whole life.
You gonna show them how dangerous you are?
Let me see your dangerous face. That's your dangerous face? Make some dangerous noises. There you go. That's your dangerous face. That's, okay, don't do that for the people.
Now, I've watched this film at least 3 times in the last month. And every time I find something new in it, a new angle to pursue, a new challenge to my own character and levels of commitment, I wonder if I believe in and invest in those around me enough. Now, I know I do not have a 78-page plan for anyone or for anything, and I am not to be judged for that. Again, this film could be about family, perseverance, having a plan, working a plan, commitment, and what it means to invest in, to believe in a dream that seems impossible and improbable. But even to get the dream to a point where it can be heard, it must be believed by the person who has seen it. The one relaying the dream must possess a conviction that it can and will happen. It's that level of confidence that is needed to move beyond crazy fantasies to realities beyond our wildest imaginations. One of the endearing qualities in this story of how Richard and Orsine Williams molded and cared for their daughters is the obvious regard that they had for their agency and acknowledgement of their talent. Sure, the parents had a plan and a dream. But without the girls being co-conspirators in the plan, those dreams would never have materialized. That's why I believe friendship and friendliness plays a major role in their forward movement, and it also plays a role in our advancement in our own lives. We see this in the movie, and yes, we've seen it in our own experiences. When we have had someone or a few individuals that we classify as best friend, we tend to let those individuals in like no one else. They have our utmost respect, attention, and devotion. Sometimes those bonds between friends are as strong or as stronger than siblings or even couple bonds. The best friend holds your secrets, protects you, and does not step on your hopes and dreams. No, your friends lifts you up and shines light on the best of who you are and what you want to become. They hold you accountable to a higher standard of existence through loving words and compassionate acts. As we consider these poignant verses that was read from Hebrews 12, the writer of Hebrews, I am certain the writer of Hebrews must have seen this film. But you have to go back into Hebrews 10 and even Hebrews 11 to really grasp where we are in Hebrews 12, 1 and 2. I'll just go back to Hebrews 11. For it's what some refer to as the Hall of Faith chapter. It heralds all of the forerunners, many of the forerunners to Jesus who responded faithfully to God's calling upon their lives. Some of those celebrated in chapter 11 did not have the best reputation in their town. Some of them came from the wrong side of the tracks. Some were misunderstood by those around them. Some laughed at God's promises to them. Some lied about who they were. Some cheated on their primary spouses. Some went left when God said to go right, and I'm certain God never said to go to the far right. But none of them, but none of them were perfect. None of them had it all figured out. None of them fit the mold of what society deemed success or successful. And God used each of them to advance the message of healing, restoration, wholeness, and what it means to be faithful to God and to express a faith in God. We see it in this movie, and we've seen it in our lives. When we've had someone or a few individuals that we classify as best friends, they lift that up for us, and we follow it. We cherish it. But in Hebrews 11, it begins, you may recall, it begins with the verses that many of you have memorized or have heard. In the King James Version, Hebrews 11 and 1 says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." The New Revised Standard Version translates that as, "Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen." In Eugene Peterson's Message, says the fundamental fact of existence is that this trust in God, this faith, is the firm foundation under everything that makes life worth living. It's our handle on what we cannot see. That's faith. And there's so much about this life that we cannot see and we cannot explain. But when we believe in ourselves and in what we are doing, we trust that God is somewhere in the mix and that great things can happen, even when we do not look the part. When our address is somewhere in Compton, not Bel Air, when our hair is a little kinky, not straight, it may be red, not bleached blonde, or it may not be there at all in all the places where it used to be. We're plump, not petite. We're more Danny DeVito and less Dwayne The Rock Johnson. We have an accent that is recognizable and not disguisable. We know many things, but do not have a degree. There's something King Richard teaches us about having faith in yourself and in your investment so that you can realize success. In Hebrews 12 and 1, it says, "So then with endurance, let's also run the race that is laid out in front of us, since we have such a great cloud of witnesses surrounding us." Those named in Hebrews 11 and all those who have gone on before us are in that great cloud of witnesses. They are the ones cheering us on. They are the ones believing our impossible dreams with us. They are the ones whispering wisdom into our silent moments and calming us amid the chaos. You may recall Richard said to his daughters, "The world ain't never respected Richard Williams, but they gonna respect y'all." See, that's wisdom. And those are friendly words to speak to someone who cares about you and someone you care about. And there are many lessons to take from this movie, and we'll get to those. But let's take our first lesson from our text from Hebrews 12. And it says, let's throw off any extra baggage and get rid of the sin that rips us up and fix our eyes on Jesus. See, extra baggage, extra weight is a problem in every race and in every contest except sumo wrestling. See, we have to let go of everything that is weighing us down and blocking our view. For some of us, that amounts to the people that we have around us, those who do not support our dream and those who do not invest in us. And I've heard it quoted quite a few times over the last few months that if you look at your closest five friends, you'll know what level of success you'll achieve in the next 5 years. If you look at your closest five friends, you'll know the level of success you'll achieve in the next 5 years. So what that says to me is that if they're not progressing, neither are you, and neither will they. If you're the only person in your circle who seems to know what's going on, then you probably need a new circle, or at least an additional circle. I mean, those friends sometimes can be baggage that will not support you on your journey. And I know that sounds harsh, but this may not be the season for you to be in that circle, for you to be in that group. So lesson one is throw off extra baggage. Whether it's a dead-end relationship, if it's life-draining friends, and we all have them. If we weren't online, I would list mine right now, but they may be watching online, so I'm not going to do that. We have to throw it off. If it's negative self-talk, we have to release it. We have to let it go. If it's too much reliance on others' opinions, we have to, as the scripture says, throw it off because it's weighing us down. It's getting in the way of us being all of who we are called to be. Another lesson I believe we can draw from this film and also from the text is that we have to be open to learning. See, Venus and Serena bought into the plan and the dream at an early age. The other family members were also co-opted into the dream. The parents were their coaches before they landed a professional coach. Now, it did help that their parents were former athletes with the discipline and the perseverance that any good athlete needs to be successful, and they were good learners as well as good teachers. One commentator wrote, before they could teach tennis to the girls, Richard and Orsine first learned the game themselves. Even after it was obvious the girls had real talent and were on the path to remarkable athletic achievements, Richard never stopped learning great tennis everywhere he could. Whether that was in an interview, reading an interview in a magazine, watching famous players on TV, or going to matches himself. He kept looking for insights that would help Venus and Serena improve their game. So I ask you, what are you learning these days that supports your dream? What are your friends teaching you about yourself and about them? Our third lesson. There are four, so. Our third lesson. Richard Williams says to his girls, don't think about what other people do. Think about what you do. Don't think about what other people do. Think about what you do. See, Venus and Serena had to be laser focused on their game, their training, their family, their studies, and their dream. They had to know the short-term tasks that were necessary that would help them reach their long-term goals. See, when you focus on others, it's easy to become distracted by their actions or inactions, by their skill or approach, and that can impact you in ways that you don't intend. In a forthcoming issue of Vogue, Serena Williams writes about evolving beyond tennis because she doesn't like the term retirement. Now, we know that she's also spoken about how she watched other great players and learned from their game. She didn't mimic their games, she learned from their game. She even talks about how she watches Venus play. And if Venus loses, she knows why. And she adjusts so she will not lose the same way. See, that's wisdom. Learn from other people's mistakes. Hello? Hello? See, that's different from watching to compare. She watches to compete and to improve. There's a big difference. And that's where being open to learning can help us as we navigate life, love, careers, and losses that life brings our way. The fourth and final lesson. is that your dream may need a new road. Your dream may need a new road. When the sisters' coach in Florida told Richard Williams to enlist his daughters in the juniors tournament because that's how all the great champions had done it before, Richard refused. When the nosy neighbor suggested that the girls do other activities instead of training so hard, Richard refused. No matter how much everyone insisted, Richard was unwavering in his decision. When Venus was ready, he allowed her to turn pro and enter the competition, and she won. Serena turned pro 1 year later, and they began moving the arc of tennis, and it has not stopped moving yet. So, beloved, you don't have to follow the same path or go the same route as everyone else in your company, everyone in your profession, in your neighborhood, in your church, and Hollywood, not even in your denomination. You have a unique set of skills, resources, talents, and callings that cannot be determined by what has been. Besides, nobody wants a has been anyway. Been there, done that. So why limit yourself by trying to fit into someone else's mold? Now, when we began, I asked you to consider what is a friend or what is a best friend. We also passed by the Hebrews 12 text about the great cloud of witnesses. So where does this question and the consideration of this text intersect? Well, I'm so glad you're still here, and I'm so glad you asked. It seems that we can learn from the movie. We can learn from the records of Venus and Serena and our own experiences and see that our dreams matter. Those we have in our corner, those we have in our circle matter. How we invite folks into our sphere of influence matters. Our cloud of witnesses cannot be limited to the saints of old. We must have some people up close and personal with us who knows and loves us and cheers us on. We need friends, and we need friendliness to get through life. And we need friends, and we need friendliness to get through life, because it's a friend who would tell you when you're wrong and love you back to right. It's a friend who will know your heart and protect it even more than their own. It's a friend who will smile while you cry so you don't have to pretend that it's all right. It's a friend who will listen to your doubts and reflect possibilities when limitations are all that you can see. It's a friend who will make crooked places straight and rough places smooth so that you might find your way. It's a friend who will travel those roads less traveled right alongside you, even with their own fears in tow. But their belief in you and what's possible in and through you are enough for them to be on the journey, to trust God, and to come along to be your number one cheerleader. See, friends don't let friends live beneath their potential. Friends don't let friends believe that mediocrity is acceptable. Friends don't let friends miss opportunities to better themselves. Friends don't let friends be the only one in the camp achieving greatness. Friends are fine with you changing locations and changing the environment. What we see in and through Richard Williams is that his plan, his investment, and dream that brought along a host of co-conspirators, a cloud of witnesses, that it changed the trajectory of his family and changed the face of a sport. It changed how tennis is viewed and who now sees themselves as possible participants and contenders in tennis. Richard Williams was the ultimate witness of Venus and Serena's greatness, even before they were born. That's impressive. He showed himself friendly to them, and he stayed with them through the good times and the bad. He trusted in them. He had faith in what was not yet seen. He could tell the story, and as any good witness can and will, he got it right. He knew what he was looking at. He knew what he was seeing. Friends are the best witnesses because they're up close to the action. So in closing, who do you have cheering you on? Who are you cheering on? Who's helping you to throw off your extra baggage? Who's helping you to remain open to learning? Telling you, don't think about what other people do, think of what you do. And who's reminding you that your dream, it may be so big, so bold, your dream may be so you, that your dream may need a new road. So I believe the world needs fewer kings and more friends. So thanks, Richard, and thanks be to God. Amen. The sermon, I focus more on friends, and so in the benediction, I want to lift very quickly this idea of your dream. It's important for you to know what your dreams are so that your friends, so that your cloud of witnesses know how to support you and have faith in you. So revive those dreams that you've left on the shelf. Bring back those dreams that have been deferred. Share them with those closest to you that they might cheer you on and champion you. Have faith in you as you gain greater faith in yourself and the great call that is upon your lives. May what you do and what you bring to the world transform this world and the lives of those you encounter. May it be so in the name of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen and amen.